Chapter 7. Rosmarin.
As soon as we had word of Erwin's return, I called a council meeting so we could all hear what news she had brought with her from the south. The council had made lots of preparations so far, but Eri's information would be imperative to our plans. Although I knew she would bring word of the zombies and lichlings, I hoped the situation wasn't too dire. I had some of the servants bring up food and drink, mostly for Erwin after such a long journey back. She would be tired, but even if I commanded her to rest, she wouldn't do it. Besides, we were all eager to see our friend. Rachel and I were already in the royal chambers in a meeting with Onyx and Adriana. The gargoyle soldiers were debriefing us on how the training and recruiting efforts were progressing. The council and Adriana had decided to continue bolstering our troops, even after the battle. And after the news from the Nuwatl emissary, we were glad for the foresight. If our mission failed, a strong army would be important for Constanta's survival, and having extra soldiers also meant we could call for reinforcements without emptying the whole castle of its protection. I heard a knock on the door, and Erwin, still in her travel gear, flitted in. She gave me a big hug and then greeted Rachel and the gargoyles. Soon Onyx returned with Sahar and Kristoff in tow, my human mate looking more disheveled than usual. I wrapped my arms around Chris as he approached me. "Are you feeling all right?" I asked. His normal glow had disappeared, leaving his tan skin looking dull.
"Just a hard day at work."
Chris smiled that cute grin of his.
"I managed to control my powers. Just a little bit, though,"
he added when he saw concern distort my face. As far as I knew, Chris hadn't tried his powers since the battle, and the thought of him releasing such a blast again scared me. I couldn't lose him. Not again. He clearly sensed my worry and reassured me with a hug, and then we took our seats around the table. After everyone shared their greetings with Erwin, I nodded for her to speak. The red-headed fairy began slowly at first.
"Well, the werewolf was correct. Zombies and lichlings are crawling all around Nuwatl."
The council members looked around at each other, our fears cemented.
"Jungle covers much of the land, so I couldn't see how many undead might be lingering near the kingdom, but I met with Sophia. She seems to think the numbers have been steadily increasing, and she fears war is inevitable."
"And she expects us to fight it for her,"
Rachel butted in, annoyance dripping from her voice. I shot her a glance, trying to tell her those comments were not helpful, but I understood where her anger came from. Rachel merely crossed her arms and shrugged. Onyx spoke next.
"Does she want us to bring an army?"
"She has an army," I replied.
"Yes, and a formidable one,"
Eri informed us.
"She mainly wants our expertise."
The fairy accentuated the word.
"As she called it."
Kristoff shifted in his chair beside me and chimed in.
"She does realize most of our victories were luck, right?"
"That's not true," I objected. "Certainly we encountered some unknown obstacles, but we overcame them because of our skills in battle." Erwin nodded.
"And that's what Sophia wants us for. Our skills. We're sort of legends now, like it or not."
"Yes."
Sahar's velvety voice came in. "Word of our victory has traveled far." We all glanced at the sorceress. I wondered what she saw with her oracular powers, but I knew she wouldn't divulge her secrets.
"So then what's the plan?"
Rachel, still with her arms crossed, asked. Erwin looked at each of us, her trusted friends.
"Well, we've already offered Sophia our help, so let's go help. Besides, we can also clear some of the smaller bands of zombies between here and Nuwatl, which will help keep Constanta safe while we're away."
"How soon will we be ready to leave?"
Kristoff asked, something like excitement in his deep voice. I looked to Adriana, as we elected her the head of the temporary council that would run the kingdom while we were gone. How are your preparations coming, Adriana?
Fine, my queen.
The battle-hardened gargoyle responded.
I feel confident we will be able to manage during your mission south.
For the sake of Constanta, I sure hope so.
Kristoff quipped with a grin for our gargoyle friend, and she nodded in agreement.
Adriana, you'll do great.
Kristoff added, his tone now serious. Adriana stared at him with her feline-like yellow eyes, but she looked down to the ground and shifted her weight. I placed all my trust in my council and now shifted that same confidence to my temporary leaders. This acting council would consist of Adriana, who would oversee Constanta's army, and the twin gargoyles, Lauren and Lorelia, who would be in charge of the castle's day-to-day operations. One of Sahar's trusted sorcerers, Ofin, who would run the alchemy lab, and two representatives would be in charge of the east and west villages. Jasker, who Kristoff and I visited in the west, and an east side wraith named Tomar. These six people would run the kingdom while my council was away, and I knew each one loved Constanta as much as I did, and would not fail our people in my absence. Still, part of me felt guilty for leaving. Maybe I should stay, but there was no way I would let Kristoff travel so far south without me. I had thought about leaving Onyx or Rachel behind to rule. Those two didn't even want to go. But whether it was selfishness or something else, I couldn't imagine embarking on this journey without them by my side. We finished up the meeting, and I gave Erwin another hug, glad she had made it back safe and thankful for the extra information before our long journey. I could only hope that our travels in the open wilds would prove uneventful, but Eri had mentioned seeing a few zombies roaming the lands, and there were other dangerous creatures that called the wilderness home. We decided to leave in a few days, giving Eri ample time to rest and allowing us to finalize our preparations and make sure our kingdom was ready for our absence. We made one last trip to the West Village to say goodbye to Chris's family, and we also traveled to the East Village, making sure we left on good terms with all of our people. Although the East Village had always been in better condition than the West, it still had suffered some damages during the battle, so we also needed to reconstruct parts of the town. Seeing some of the gorgeous buildings and shambles on the ground reminded me of how close Constanta had come to total destruction. I squeezed Kristoff's hands as he walked next to me, reminding myself that with him by my side, I could accomplish anything. It was another gorgeous summer day, and Kristoff and I wandered through the busy streets of the East Village with Tomar. He was an average-looking wraith, with dark, translucent skin and wispy black hair sprouting from his head. His red, glowing eyes moved from person to person as he nodded at each one we passed. Tomar was the perfect choice to lead the East Village, and it was evident that he cared about each citizen, each building, each stone that made up his town.
As you can see, Your Highness,
Tomar spoke to me in a caring tone.
The East Village is doing quite well. We've recovered fairly quickly, and I'm happy to say we've been able to send some of our workers to the West Village to help.
I smiled at Tomar, his genuine kindness warming me and making me proud to be his queen. Thank you, Tomar. We are grateful for all you're doing.
It's my great pleasure, my queen.
He bowed.
Please, for all of us, come back safe.
Oh, don't you worry about that, declared Kristoff. We'll be back before you know it.
I smiled at Tomar. But in some small part of me, tucked away so that I barely noticed it, a silent fear had been growing. What if we didn't come back? What then? Kristoff and I rode back to the castle in silence, hand in hand. I'm sure he sensed my uneasiness, as he usually did, but sometimes he knew it best to let me deal with my thoughts and emotions on my own. He was there, though. My silent comforter, my rock, and my light. When we arrived back at the castle, I let Kristoff ascend to our room alone. He kissed me at the castle gates as the twilight sky changed from pinks and oranges to a deep blue, and he left me to my thoughts. The past few days had flown by, and it was now the eve of our journey, and I wanted to walk to the castle halls one last time. I strolled through each floor, admiring the artwork gifted to me from our citizens, young and old. I ran my pale hand along the walls that had been my home for so many years, my head replaying so many memories. I visited my gallery, now much smaller as I had donated many pieces to the East and West villages, where most of the art belonged. I took one last visit to the armory and peeked into Sahar's lab. I walked through the library and the Great Hall, the place where the castle residents came every day for meals. I loved each floor of my castle because, to me, it represented everything Constanta stood for. Since the Great Purge, we had strived to create a kingdom safe from the zombies, and a place where all could feel welcome. We hadn't always succeeded, but we were learning from our mistakes. I loved my land, and my people, and I hoped this wouldn't be the last time I walked these halls. A bittersweet notion entered my thoughts then, and I smiled. If these were to be my last moments in the halls of Castle Constanta, well, I was leaving it in good hands. No matter what happened to me, I had lived a long and full life, and had left a great legacy for those who would follow after me. But I silently prayed I would return to walk these halls again.